Blog Talk Radio.
Jesus Christ and Seekers of the Truth. This is the 136th edition of SDG, Sola Dea Gloria. And the title of today's message is, What If There Had Been No Resurrection? We're going to focus on 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 12 through 19. You know, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is essential to the faith once delivered unto the saints. Now, here's a few unthinkable questions that are often asked, even by some believers. Things like, what if there had been no resurrection? Does it really matter? What if Jesus stayed in the tomb? We'd still have the faith, wouldn't we? What if death had won and Jesus stayed in the grave? Who really cares? Well, I do, and you ought to too. In fact, that's very alarming to even consider that. But what's even more alarming is there are liberal theologians and pastors all across the world right now who actually say this bodily resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter. Because what matters is that he rose spiritually. And that's just plain wrong on so many levels, I'm telling you. You could just look at it theologically, it's wrong. You could look at it historically, it's wrong. It's just plain wrong. And the Apostle Paul, he deals with that question, or these questions, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning in verse 12. And I'm going to read verses 12 through 19. through 20. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, we found false witness of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead raise not. For if the dead raise not, then is not Christ raised? And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which have fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. Wow, there's a lot there. And what we're going to do is go through this scripture and see six terrible realities that we would face in this world today if it wasn't true that Christ is indeed risen. And in the early church, that's what they used to say when they greeted each other. They'd look at each other and say, Christ is risen. And then the others would reply, he is risen indeed. Praise Jesus. And this is the weekend we celebrate his resurrection. Now, you know, there was a great escape artist, the greatest of all time. And his name was Harry Houdini. And he died back in 1926, so you may never have heard of him. But he was the sensation of his time. I'm telling you, he was. No one, including Scotland Yard, was able to keep him bound and imprisoned. No one. He'd be out in a few minutes. Handcuffs would just fall away. He was so good, in fact, that various prison wardens across the world would give Harry Houdini a certificate for escaping from their prison. You know, they'd sew him up in a canvas bag, weigh him down and throw him in a river with handcuffs and chains, and out he'd come. Once he was even put in a coffin, wrapped around with chains and dumped in a river, and he still escaped. But Harry Houdini himself wondered if anyone could truly escape from the prison of death. So what he did is he gave his wife a secret code, and he said, after I die, I'll try to contact you on my birthday. And then every year on his birthday, Betsy Houdini would light a candle and sit before his picture and wait for the contact. She even met with some of those occultists and tried, but they were so many were frauds, and Harry Houdini had exposed them. You know, first year she did it and no contact, then year two, then year three, then 4 years, five, six, seven, eight, nine, ten, yet no contact. And then finally, on the 10th year, she blew the candle out and never tried again. So even Harry Houdini couldn't escape the dominion of death. But praise the Lord, Jesus, on the other hand, he went to the tomb. He stayed there just 3 days, and he walked out like a butterfly bursting from a cocoon. Praise the Lord, he defeated the grave. He even left his grave clothes neatly folded in that tomb as he came out in victory. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Jesus Christ did what Harry Houdini couldn't even do. Jesus conquered death, but not only did he conquer death, he conquered sin and the sinister minister of sin himself, Satan. But nevertheless, these horrible, unthinkable questions still come along, even today, 2,000 years after this truth, this historical, theological truth. People are going around saying, well, just suppose Jesus is still in the grave. Does it really matter? What if Jesus didn't rise from the dead? Who cares? Well, I care, and you ought to, too. And we're going to look at these six tragic consequences of what we'd be facing if Jesus were still in the grave. First, this preaching would be profitless. It truly would be. So this gathering that we do here every week on SDG, it'd be worthless. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 14 says, and if Christ not be risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. So we'd just be wasting our time here if Jesus were still in the grave. This is a very profitless thing we'd be doing right now if Jesus wasn't risen. So preaching is vain, empty, and meaningless if Jesus were still in the grave. You know the term to preach, or a preacher, is the same Greek word for herald. The herald that would announce the return to Rome of one of their victorious generals after winning another war. So our preaching What it's doing is heralding the good news of our victor, Jesus Christ, who we stand in victory with. He is risen. I'm telling you, he is risen indeed. Praise Jesus. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 14 through 16 say so much, where Paul says, "Now thanks be to God, which always causes us to triumph in who? Jesus Christ, and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place." So always, in every place, should we be heralding the victory we have in Jesus Christ. And we can only do that because he is risen, and he is risen today. And then when we do that, what we become is we become a sweet savor of Christ in them that are saved. And in them that perish, wow, it's like the hope for the world, you know. To the one, we are a savor of death unto death, those who don't believe and say, well, does it really matter, you know. And then to the other, a savor of life unto life. Isn't that powerful? So every liberal preacher who doesn't believe in the bodily resurrection, I'm telling you, you're playing wrong. You're just wrong. And there's this one liberal preacher. I'm not going to name his name. I'm just going to quote what he said. And here's what he said, speaking on Jesus. He said, and this is a direct quote, "His body lies in a nameless Syrian tomb, but his deathless spirit goes marching on." Wow, you know, that's totally and absolutely foolish. And someone ought to call for that man's credentials right now. He should not be a preacher because Jesus is alive. He has risen. I'm telling you, he has risen indeed. And that preacher's an imposter. And he's a fake and a fraud. And he has no business preaching in any ministry bearing the name of Christ. It's a lie from the pits of hell. And this is the gospel, that Christ has died for our sins and that he was buried and rose again on the third day. And without this truth, these liberal preachers have no gospel to preach. You know, back in the olden days, you know, when haircuts were 50 cents, there was this preacher who went into a barber shop one time, and he got a haircut. And as he started to pay the barber, the barber said, "No, that's okay, you're a pastor, and I'm not going to charge you. This one's on the house." And the pastor, he replied, well, I want to pay. And the barber said, "No, I'll come and listen to you preach. I'll take it out in your preaching." And the pastor said, "Well, you know, I don't have any 50-cent sermons." And the barber quipped in real fun. They were having some fun just jesting among themselves. The barber quipped back real quick, "Well, that's okay, I'll come twice." Well, I'm telling you, a sermon that doesn't believe in the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ is profitless, worthless, and an exercise in futility. I'm telling you, it really is, and it isn't even worth 25 cents. But not only would our preaching be profitless if Jesus were still in the grave, but would have a foolish faith. Again, in verse 14, it says, "And if Christ be not risen, then our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain." So why would that be? Well, think about it. Why would you put your trust in a dead Messiah? The point is that our faith is no better than what we place it in. And if you place your faith in a dead man that can't save anyone, how much value is there to it? So our faith in Jesus Christ isn't worth anything if Christ is still in the grave. So how do we know that he's the Son of God? How do we know that he is the very Almighty Jehovah Elohim incarnate? How do we know that? Well, the Bible says he's shown to be the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead. Jesus is alive. He's alive. Now, if he's still in the grave, not only is our preaching profitless and our faith foolish, but the disciples were deceptive. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 15 and 16, Paul wrote, "Yea, and we," that's the apostles and disciples, "are found to be false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead raise not. For if the dead raise not, then is not Christ raised?" So do you notice what he was saying there in verse 15? He said, we are found to be false witnesses. Now make sure you get this point that Paul's making here. Paul isn't saying if Christ is still in the grave, then we're mistaken. You know, it's one thing to be mistaken, but it's a completely another matter to be a false witness. A completely different matter on an entirely different level. And what Paul's saying here is that if Christ is still in the grave, then we're telling you a lie. So ask yourself these questions. Were the disciples liars? Were they deceivers? If so, why? Why would they deceive? Why would they do that? You know, some people lie for gain. But what gain did they have if Christ were still in the grave? Just think about it for a minute. How did these apostles and disciples die? Well, they died as martyrs. They were tortured, persecuted, burned at the stake, buried up to their neck in the sand as they watched the tide come in. Read Fox's Book of Martyrs. Well, just think about that, you know? These men and women, they died for what they believed and knew to be true because they witnessed it with the very eyes God gave them, and they heard it with the very ears that God gave them to hear. So their blood that stained the mouths of lions in the Colosseums, and they were stoned, they were crushed, they were humiliated. Now get this, hypocrites and martyrs aren't made of the same stuff. They aren't. People tell lies to get out of trouble, not to get into trouble. A man may live for a lie, but few, if any, are willing to die for a lie if they know it to be a lie. So the apostles and the disciples, they were saying, listen, we've seen him, we've touched him, we've handled him, he has risen. Now, are you going to tell me that Simon Peter was a con man and the apostle John a crook? Come on, give me a break. And the apostle Paul, who wrote most of the New Testament, was a perjurer or a deceiver or a false witness? And all of these men, they'd all die for a lie? Come on, of course not. If Christ is still in the grave, preaching is profitless. Our faith is foolish. The disciples are deceivers. And if Christ were still in the grave, sin would still be sovereign. And sin would have won. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 17 said, and if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. All of us have sinned. So there's not a one of us who haven't sinned. But if Christ is in the grave and we're sinners by birth, by our nature, by our practices, by the choices we make, the truth is we have no hope of being forgiven. No hope. You know, apart from the death of Jesus Christ, we are hopeless because God simply cannot overlook sins. If God were to cease to judge sins, God would cease to be holy. And if God were to merely overlook our sins, God would topple from his throne of righteousness and holiness. Isaiah said God is holy, holy, holy. And sure, God is love. And praise the Lord, he's merciful. But if we could only use one word to describe our God, it would be holy. Our God is holy, holy, holy. So our God never lets sin go unpunished. You know, our sins will either be pardoned in Christ or punished in hell. But our sins will never be overlooked. So if Jesus Christ were still in the grave, that would mean that God did not accept his sacrifice at Calvary. So how do we know that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? How do we know that Jesus wasn't just some religious fanatic? How do we know that Jesus wasn't someone with a martyr complex? You know, a few bolts loose in his head who just wanted to get crucified. And there are people like that, you know. So how do we know that God accepted the sacrifice of the cross at Calvary? How do we know? By the bodily resurrection, praise Jesus. The Bible says he was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. You know, living, he loved me. Dying, he saved me. He did. He buried. When he was buried, he carried my sins far away from the throne room. And rising, he justified me freely forever. Praise the Lord. I'm telling you, no resurrection, no Savior. No Savior, no forgiveness. His death without resurrection cannot save anyone. He was delivered for our offenses. The Bible says that. And he was raised for our justification. Praise the Lord. So if Christ is still in the grave, none of us have any hope. No hope of heaven. No hope of salvation. No hope of deliverance. Because Christ is still in the grave, and we're still in our sins. Remember, the wage of sin is death. And the soul that sinneth, and that's all of ours, it shall surely die. Now, if anyone had been lacking, you know, they're going to go to hell. And all of us have been lacking. But if Jesus had been lacking, if his life was not perfect, he would not have had a sinless atonement. He would not have been that spotless lamb. And God the Father would have left him in the grave. And if Jesus remained in the grave, all these things would have been what we're facing. But on top of that, we'd have still had to face the dominion of death. So death would still have its dominion. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 18 says, then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. Do you have a loved one? A father, a mother, a brother, a sister, or a child who's died? If so, and if Jesus hasn't risen, then forget it. It's all over. They're gone. They've perished. It's all over. Death would have its dominion if Christ were still in the grave. And so life would be nothing but a cruel joke when you stop and think about it. And the only things that any of us would have to look forward to is just getting older and sicker and winding down to the grave and then getting covered with dirt and then letting some greedy grubs just eat away at our flesh. And I'm sorry to be grotesque here, but that's all we'd have. That'd be it. So if Jesus didn't bodily raise from the grave, then death still has its dominion. And the dead have perished for nothing. Are you going to tell me that something as wonderful and as mysterious and as fearfully created as human life, something as glorious as the bond of love shared between two human beings, has no meaning beyond the grave? Come on. And to die, we just become worm food? That's it? Well, without the bodily resurrection, that's all any of us have to look forward to. But no, death does not have dominion. Christ is risen. So those that have fallen asleep in Christ have not perished. He is alive. Praise Jesus. I'm telling you, this is a great thing to know, that there is a God who formed the man, the God-man, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who grappled with sin and death and defeated it on the cross at Calvary. I'm here to tell you that death has no dominion because Jesus Christ bodily rose from the grave. Praise Jesus. Now, if preaching is profitless and our faith is futile and sin is sovereign and if death has dominion, then I'm telling you what we face is a fearful future. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 19 said, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. You know, a wise man once said, and I don't even know what his name was, but he said, if Christ is still in that grave, nothing really matters. But if Christ come out of that grave, nothing but that really matters. Praise the Lord. Wouldn't you agree with that? And I do. Since Jesus Christ walked out of that grave, he's all that matters. It's all about Jesus. It's all about him. The point is, without the resurrection, we're just poor, deluded fools. And we're of all people most miserable. And the future is fearful. But Jesus Christ is the one who walked out of the grave. He took the sting out of sin. I'm telling you, he took the dread out of death. He took the gloom out of the grave. And he has given us a hope beyond all hopes. And I'm telling you, that hope is steadfast and sure. So, what's in your future? Is it fearful? No. Not if you believe that Jesus rose from the dead. I mean, you truly believe it and you live by it. You know, we all know who Albert Einstein is. He was a genius, you know. Time magazine just didn't call him Man of the Year. No, Time magazine called him Man of the Century. Yet he knew so much. And he was like a lot of really, really smart people. He was absent-minded. And once on a train from Princeton, and he was a professor at Princeton, the conductor came by to punch his ticket, but Einstein, he just couldn't find his ticket. He was looking in his vest, in his briefcase. He just couldn't find that ticket. And the conductor said, Dr. Einstein, don't worry. I know you bought a ticket, so don't worry. It's okay. And so the conductor, he just continued down the train, punching everyone's tickets. And then he looked back, and he saw old Dr. Einstein down on his knees looking under the seat for his ticket. So the conductor went back to Dr. Einstein. He said, sir, it's all right. Dr. Einstein, I know who you are. And I love how Dr. Einstein replied. He said, well, I know who I am too, young man. I just want to know where I'm going. Well, I've got a question for you. Do you know where you're going? Do you know who you are in Jesus Christ? Have your sins been forgiven? Are you sure that Jesus Christ is in your heart? If so, I want to tell you, preaching is profitable. Faith, our faith is feasible. Praise Jesus. The disciples were dependable. Sin has been subdued. Death has been defeated. And our future in Jesus is fabulous. Praise the Lord. Because we know where we're headed. The truth of the ages is that Jesus came out of the grave. Only a fool doubts the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Jesus lives. And the question is, do you live the second part of Romans chapter 5, verse 10? Do you live it? Look it up for yourself. Read the second part of Romans chapter 5, verse 10. You know, if you're not there, you may have existence, but you don't have true life. You don't have it until you know the Lord Jesus Christ in relationship. And let's just pray. Let's just end this message by praying that if you do not know that truth, you can receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and know that he's risen. Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner and I know I'm lost. Just pray this. Forgive me of my sins, dear Jesus. Then give me the strength to turn away from them and turn to you. And this is a process you're going to go through as he sweeps your house clean and starts to fill you with the Holy Spirit. Just pray, Lord, I know you died. I know you were buried. I know you bodily rose on the third day, and I confess you as Lord. Now, dear Jesus, give me the strength to proudly share this good news with others. Allow me to preach that which is profitable. In your holy name I pray. You know, Jesus is risen. He is risen indeed. And before we wrap this up with a couple worship songs, I just want to share something with you that happened back on Easter Day in 1993. Masters golf champion Bernard Langer won the Masters. And you're thinking, well, big deal. But you know why I'm sharing this with you? When the reporters came up to him as he was standing there with the green vest on the 18th green, and they said, one of them asked, well, this must be the greatest day of your life, Mr. Langer. And he, without missing a beat, acted as a herald and proclaimed the truth. And here's what he said. This is his reply. It's wonderful to win the greatest tournament in the world, but it means more to win on Easter Sunday to celebrate the resurrection of my Lord and Savior. So I'm telling you, he is risen. He is risen indeed. And if Bernard Langer could do it while he stood on the victory green of the Masters Golf Tournament in 1993 and heralded the victory of Jesus Christ, you and I can do it too. Now, I love you all. I really, truly do. So let's just go out singing, Christ is risen, he is risen from the dead, and let's all be heralds of this great truth.
Hear the bells ringing, they're singing that you can be born again. Hear the bells ringing, they're singing, Christ is risen from the dead. The angel upon the tombstone said he has risen just as he said. Quickly now, go tell his disciple that Jesus Christ is no longer dead. Joy to
Praise the Lord. He is risen. And we have time for one more worship song to just celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Let's worship along with Keith and Kristen Getty as they perform, or I should say, this isn't a performance. This is worship, as they worship Jesus Christ. With Christ is risen, he is risen indeed. Resurrection. Oh, I love you all. Go out and live it and declare it. He is risen.